All right. So, John Keats is a poet, and he wrote Ode on a Grecian Urn. And the last line of it is, "Beauty is truth, truth beauty, that is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know." All right, beauty is truth, truth beauty.
So all forget right? Tax law.
No. So tax law is part of this, okay? The ACE Act's major problem is that it is homely. It is... Okay, so here's Roger's critique and my explanation. So what the ACE Act does is it creates a series of safe harbors and the opposite of those, let's call them Pearl Harbors, okay? So the safe harbors are, and brace yourself, we've got QDAFs, QCFs, QCFDAFs, and the Pearl Harbors are NQDAFs and NQCFDAFs, okay? Layer that on top of, if you've ever, you know, talked to donors, you have to explain what a DAF is, then you have to talk about a supporting org, and then you have to talk about private foundations versus public charities, you have to talk about the public support test. It's already very complicated. They say, I just want to give the money away, and you have to explain all this to them. All right, so the aesthetic argument against the ACE Act is that it's exceptionally complex and I would say unnecessarily so. So going back to Keats, if it's not beautiful, there's probably something wrong with it. It's not true, okay? And so where do we find this untruth? I looked into it. The ideas of the ACE Act come from what was left on the cutting room floor in the 1960s. There was a gentleman by the name of Patman and another gentleman by the name of Mills, all right? So Patman and Mills were segregationists, very upset by Brown v. Board of Education. And they signed something called the Southern Manifesto in 1956. And this was a time when there were freedom riders coming down to the South and trying to desegregate the schools, and they were paid for by foundations. Okay? So you had this era of civil unrest, nonprofits and foundations funding activities that were very threatening to segregationists and the natural order of things in their view. So Patman in the 60s wrote a series of bills and investigations trying to get foundations as payback for this. The ACE Act principles about limited life foundations and the restricting the scope of activities of foundations to the life of the donor, to really tie together the ideas of the donor to the activities of the foundation, were all left on the cutting room floor. These are the Patman's ideas. They're all in the early 1960s report. And another gentleman, the late Thomas Troyer, who died this past year, he was one of us. He was an exempt orgs practitioner, and he basically mediated between Patman and the segregationists and those who were just trying to prevent foundations from engaging in tax fraud and abuse, and he wrote basically the 69 Act, right, and the regulations. All right, so Thomas Troyer cut all of these ACE Act ideas out, and the regime that we have left and we live with today is the result of that. So pardon me for that kind of historical deep dive, but that's my main objection to the ACE Act. Roger thinks that my slide is incomplete because he thinks that sure, you don't have to use the safe harbor. You can always just not change anything and be in the Pearl Harbor. But I say that is not really an option. Like when you change the law and you create a safe harbor and an unsafe harbor, obviously you're trying to push everybody into the safe harbor. And therefore, I don't see this as incomplete. It's one slide. I tried to highlight the more significant changes that would be forced upon community foundations and donor-advised funds if this were to pass. And that's his beef with me.
So it's things like saying restricts community foundations, because it doesn't. What it says is right. If you want to be in a safe harbor, you would have to do
yes,
this.
Exactly.
I get you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is why we come to Alex for things. Let's move on. The off legislation and on to the courts. This first case, National Rifle Association of America versus VULO.
Yeah.
I hope that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how did the New York Insurance Commissioner discourage Lloyd's of London? What form did that take?
Literally, they just said, don't do business with them because it would be bad for you.
So they literally just directly talked to Lloyd's of London.
Yeah, there would be reputational. You, Lloyd's of London, who write insurance for the entire world, and New York is the biggest market, you best not be doing business with them because it would be bad.
And so whose free speech is really at issue in this case? It sounds like it's the New York commissioners.